Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid Podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and a Druid Podcast present Shenka.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid. where we sit in this cozy little nook with a loft and a sunroof over us, enjoying various beverages as we talk about our lives as modern pagans. I'm Margot.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So we're going to do a little series of episodes. And what we're going to discuss are the 9 druidic virtues. So in Druidry, in ADF Druidry specifically, we have these virtues. And these are our actions. These are our rules that we live by. And to us, these are what makes our path orthopraxy versus orthodoxy. We don't just believe these. These are what we live by. These are the things that we have to do in our lives to be druids. Does that make sense?
You want to embody your faith.
Exactly. So I thought it would be interesting to discuss these and then see how they apply to your guys' spiritual practices. So there's 9 of them. And I'm kind of what I'm picturing in my head. I'm going to say this and it might change, is that we're hopefully going to get through 3 per episode. So it'll be 3 episodes of
3 virtues each.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 virtues.
So, cool. So I'll read off the virtues now, just the names, not the descriptions. And then I'll read the descriptions for the first 3. First off, we have wisdom. Wisdom is good judgment and the ability to perceive people and situations correctly, deliberate about and decide on the correct response. Merriam-Webster says it's the ability to discern acceptance belief, accumulated philosophical or scientific learning, a wise attitude, belief, or the course of action in the teachings of wise men. Next is piety. Correct observance of ritual and social traditions, the maintenance of agreements we humans have with the gods and spirits, keeping the old ways through ceremony and duty. Merriam-Webster defines piety as the quality or state of being pious, such as fidelity to natural obligations or dutifulness in religion, an act inspired by piety, or a conventional belief or standard. And for last one of this episode is vision, the ability to broaden one's perspective to have a greater understanding of our place, role in the cosmos, relating to the past, present, and future. Merriam-Webster defines vision as the act or power of seeing something seen in a dream, trance, or ecstasy, especially a supernatural appearance that conveys a revelation, a thought, concept, or object formed by the imagination, a manifestation to the senses of something immaterial, the act or power of imagination, mode of seeing or conceiving, unusual discernment or foresight, direct mythical awareness of the supernatural, usually visible in the visible form or something seen, often known as vision. So those are the 3 druidic virtues we're going to discuss
This episode.
We'll start off with wisdom. Of course, my favorite description of wisdom is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. I've always liked that.
That is very good. Yeah. A tomato is a fruit, but you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad.
Tomato is a fruit is knowledge. Yeah. Wisdom is not putting it in the fruit salad.
Yes, that's the proper quote.
Yeah.
Very good.
So wisdom is about acting on knowledge or deriving meaning from knowledge.
Yes.
And I think right now, I would say politically, there's all sorts of stuff going on within Canada. And they're saying things like intelligence is not actionable stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So the wisdom is knowing which to value and which not mm-hmm. to value, maybe.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's the idea like we can do all the science we need and want, but what do we do with that information afterwards? That's the want,
yeah.
the wisdom aspect.
Wisdom, like just because you can do something.
Doesn't mean you should.
Doesn't mean you should. You know, like there's, you know, nuclear bombs out there. We shouldn't be dropping them all.
Exactly.
Place, yeah. So, you know, that kind of idea on a very global sort of a thought. Let's not do that.
Right. So how does this apply to your guys's, it's how we're maritimers, your guys's spiritual practices?
Well, I think we could, but I want to hear how you as a druid, because we talk a lot. So that is the druid definition.
Yes.
As an orthopractic observance, how do you incorporate that virtue in your practice?
So for me personally, and Karen hates this statement, but it's something that's for me. I view every situation as having three sides. And just for example, his story, her story, and the truth.
Mm-mm. Yes.
There's always multiple sides to every story, every situation. And part of my wisdom virtue is that I have to sometimes step back, observe the entire situation before I pass judgment.
You have to have critical thinking.
Exactly.
In wisdom.
Right. As a lot of people may interpret that as, I strongly believe in believing the victim. You have to listen. You have to hear what they have to say. But not every situation is black and white as it first appears. Often there are other factors that are partaking in that situation, and you have to be aware of what those are.
It's much like any form of communication, really, knowing that, like when I train new employees, I always tell them, just because I think I'm explaining the thesis in my head to you in two sentences, I'm realizing that I am not communicating to you everything that I have in my head.
Right.
Asking questions and being open to other information is important, because people have difficulty communicating what it is they're trying to say. So you need the wisdom to be able to figure out from them what might be missing from the conversation.
Right.
I think is partly what I'm thinking.
Or asking questions to fill in.
Yeah. Knowing what questions to ask to fill in.
Yeah.
I just had an experience, actually, that was so frustrating when I was at the doctor's office in Spryfield, and there's the screening there, the COVID screener. And there was a woman who came in who English was not her first language. And the screener was trying to explain to her that she was too early to check in, that the machine wouldn't take her. And she wasn't understanding what he was saying. And he used the exact same sentence about 20 times. If she's not understanding the language you are using, you need to change your language. You need to come up with a new way to convey to her what she needs to understand. And he was just the same sentence out of his mouth over and over and over again.
So he lacks the wisdom to understand that.
Yes.
And to read the situation and understand that he's not communicating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The way he is communicating is not working, and he needs to figure out a different way.
Yeah. I find a lot of like awkward social situations is because people aren't aware or wise enough to realize they're the problem.
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly. In that situation where they're just not communicating clearly. And if they were wise enough, they would know that, okay, I need to change what I'm doing. Mm. Otherwise.
And it was the same when I was living with my roommates who were married, who would argue. She would say this. He would say that, and they would argue back and forth and stick to their points. And I'd be sitting in the middle going, do you realize that you are both actually saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Just using different words.
Yeah.
And not listening to each other.
Yeah.
Which is frequently how that went. And that, I think is part of wisdom, is trying to understand what somebody is trying to tell you if they don't have the capability of being as clear as you need them to be.
Right.
Mm.
Agreed.
For me, wisdom is a tough one. And I'm aware of the virtues. It seems like the hardest one to own, in the sense that the absolute arrogance of saying that is whatever. And, you know, the minute you've accumulated wisdom, that's tower time in your life. That's when the tower shakes and your ego's toppled and you're fallen to the ground, right? Like that's just setting you up. I think of wisdom as something to work towards, trying to improve. And, you know, it's a feedback loop though, right?
Exactly.
Like that's what you're talking about a lot, is just getting better at acting and reacting to information that comes in. But it's a qualitative judgment you're making about yourself as opposed to a quantitative. You can say, piety, I do this, this, and this. I feel fairly comfortable in my observances, in my whatever.
Right.
Usually wise people are not telling you their lies.
No, no, that's they're exactly, hiding that.
That if you need to tell someone you're wise, you're not as wise as you think you
as
are.
As you think you are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a very good way to put that.
Yeah. I think a big thing with wisdom too is, you ever heard the saying, if you can't change your mind, are you sure you still have one?
Yeah.
You might think one thing, but as you accumulate new things and more things, to know that your thoughts and attitudes about things can change. I think that's a big thing with wisdom. It's not just, you know, being discerning, but to know that you can be wrong, or your attitude, or, you know, because you often do the best with what you know at the time, but, you know, it to be always learning and maybe changing attitudes about certain things.
Very good.
I find that that's, you know, if you can't change your mind, you're sure you still got one.
Yeah.
Or what was it? This is a, I think, a very a Newfie saying. It's too bad your arse wasn't as narrow as your mind. That's a bad Newfie insult. Anyway, because we used to be married to a Newfie, but no. Learning to change your mind and adjust with new knowledge, because a lot of the times it's hard to admit. Shit, I didn't have all the information. I was wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
And have to, you know, fix anything you might have done, or, you know, or just readjust.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a biggie for me. And as a bit of an egotistical person, that can be hard. it's good. It's like, okay, yeah, that was not what I thought. Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It came out wrong, or I didn't have the right information, or.
Right. So one of the mottos for my personal practice has always been, I know nothing. And what that means to me is that there's so much out there in the world for me to learn that I never want to get, like, I'm a very egotistical person, but I also know I'm not the smartest guy in any room. So I always approach situations as an opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. And that means everything, even something I feel I'm quite knowledgeable about, say, be it photography or whatever. There's always room for me to learn. Mm-hmm. I've watched so many professionals over the years approach whatever craft they may have and be like, oh, no, I know enough. I don't need to learn it. And then I don't need to learn anymore. And then a year later, they've moved on to something else because failed at what they were doing, because they closed their mind to adapting and learning.
Yeah.
And especially in the world we live in now, where everything is changing so quickly and fast around us, you have to have an open mind for learning.
And I do. Back when you were in, you know, school and you were learning to write essays, or you had to give answers to questions, you know, the teacher taught you to answer these questions: what, where, why, when, and how.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at a situation, what, where, why, when, and how, I try to keep in my mind so you can ask the right questions and figure it out. That's critical thinking, I think, though.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one to remember, the W's and the WH, all those.
Well, it's funny. Actually, here's another quote from Brian that I'm going to get wrong. I saw somewhere somebody had said, if you change the W in who, what, where to a T, you get the answers to all your questions.
Ooh.
It's like, oh, that's pretty wise. That's smart.
What's that?
So where is there?
Oh, what is that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you just change the W's to T's, you get the answer to the question you've just asked.
Oh, I did not know
right?
that.
Isn't that pretty cool?
That is insanely cool. You win the prize this episode.
Yeah. That kind of brings me back what pops in my mind, being, you know, an elder Canadian, W5.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the TV show that asked those hard questions in difficult situations to try and get the answers.
Isn't W5 still on? I don't have TV.
I don't know.
I only have streaming services. We all have streaming services.
It is in season 57.
Oh my goodness.
Episode 24.
W5.
Yeah. 57 season. It's been going since 1966.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowee. It's older than I am.
You can get it on Crave if you're interested.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or CTV.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Well, there. Wisdom.
Wonderful. That's great. 57 seasons.
That's I excellent. Wonder, there's something to aspire to. Seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we're on season 3.
Yeah.
So what's the next virtue?
All right. The next one is piety. This one should be relatively easy. So for us, of course, it is the act of performing our ritual. And not only is it the ritual we do on our high days, but for us, it's the little rituals in life. So for me, I view a lot of little things as rituals, be it shaving to making my cup of coffee in the morning. I do it a certain way every day, the same way. And that is my little ritual of making my magical potion, which will save other people's lives from me killing them.
So how much Virgo's in your chart? That sounds like a very Virgo-y, got to do it the same way every time.
All I know is I'm a Taurus and I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm a Taurus as well. So Brian and I ever get into an argument, that is going to be a show.
Yeah. It's like it's the equivalent of the cat and you put the butter toast on the cat and you try to drop it.
Yes.
And it doesn't fall. It just keeps perpetually creating energy.
Well, you know, anything having to do with Virgo, you got a Virgo moon, don't you, Gwen?
And rising.
Virgo can be very nitpicky. I can be very nitpicky because I got a Virgo moon and all that nitpicky. And we do it the correct way as well. That's an earth sign thing, I think, though.
That's fair.
That could be an earth sign. So there, I tell you, I hope we don't have a fight.
But yeah, so for us, it's the act of like rituals, be it little, be it small, be it big, be it ginormous at a festival. Everything we do, we often break down into rituals throughout our lives. This always comes up because somebody had commented that in a previous episode, I had said, well, druids don't deal with elements. I said, well, ADF druids don't deal with elements. And they're like, well, other druids do this. I only speak for ADF druids. I don't know other druids. So anyway, what I'm trying to get is, for me, that's what my, personally, I don't like ritual. I've never been a ritualist. It's just not a strong point in my practice. I guess I'm good at it. People like the rituals I put on. It's not something I do and I feel I get a lot out of.
No, I do. And I do like to, and I mean, I'll go to anyone's ritual and enjoy it. But I do like, I guess I'm using the word ritual too much, but I like the continuity, I suppose, of ritual. We say ritual. Yep. I enjoy seeing this, because it's a trigger too. Because if you're used to the rituals, you know, even if it's like making your coffee and, you know, your routine in the morning, for me, if you can accomplish it in that order, and all of that, I find that relaxes me and then I can be more open.
Right.
When my ritual, be it in my everyday life, in my spiritual practices in order, I like that. For me, I do. I enjoy, and I enjoy that order, I suppose. Right.
So for me, since I don't feel I'm a strong ritualist, for me, my form of piety is community service.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that and also wondering, is piety the opposite of blasphemy?
Ah.
Because I feel my piety that I hope comes naturally to me. This is what I want to do. This is my choice. I'm not doing it because it is prescribed in my practice, you know, in order to be a good pagan, you must do these things. These are the things I want to do. Again, community service is one of the things that came to mind for that, you know, even us doing this is.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I feel a form of community service that I'm able to contribute. You know, shy Margot, who can't walk into a room of strangers and start a conversation with anybody. This is my way of contributing to the community. And,
I guess I never thought of that, but I'm a big volunteer.
Yeah, well, you have a radio show that you've been doing since the dawn of time.
There's that. And
almost as long as W5.
Yes.
W5. And I volunteer in my community a lot, actually. Yes. I've been, I do, you know, two sessions a week in our public library, tutoring, you know, newcomers for free.
And we convince you to do opening closing rituals at new festivals.
Yes. And also like adult literacy.
That worked, by the way.
Public shaming for
the win.
You know, well, it wasn't shaming, it was spite a little bit for the win. That's another story altogether, because I do have a little bit of spite in me. But no, you're right. And
don't let me speak at a turn. You're a big ritualist. You do a lot of ritual.
I do, and I enjoy it very, very much.
Yeah.
Not that I don't mind my quiet little meditation at home too.
No.
And I won't lie, I'm, you know, and as a bit of a show off, I really do enjoy it. Some people are, you're not a show. No, I don't know. You can be a little bit of a show off too.
In ritual, I can. Yeah. I when it's a public ritual, I do enjoy the theatrics.
Yes.
Because that helps bring everybody into the space.
Yes.
So on the topic of piety and community service, we have the queen of community service over here.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I find that. And if piety is observance or ritual or connection and honoring deity, it's easier for me to do that through community service.
Right. What's the list of things you do?
Oh, my goodness. I try and help out wherever. I try and help out wherever. So,
okay, so she's not going to do it. So you volunteer at how many different prisons?
Well, I do get paid for that as well.
But yes, I'm not doing it.
I did start out as a volunteer, and yes, Maeve gave me a push when I had no guts and pushed me into it. So I credit her for that.
And where did you just drive from?
I just drove from a prison in another province.
Exactly. Today. Multiple hours away.
Multiple hours. Yeah. 5-hour round trip to go chat with some people. Yeah. And I'm really committed to furthering pagan acceptance and integration into the greater community. So, you know, making things, you know, working with government and those sorts of things to make things available. And my personal thing is, like, I would love, once that's set up, to have somebody else pick up some more of those lead roles. And mine is spiritual care. Yeah. My concern, or my way of thinking that possibly I can serve deity, is through caring for people in hard circumstances, whether they're in prison or whether they're in a senior's home or the hospital or going through some sort of life crisis. That's where I want to spend my energy going forward.
Right.
Yeah. And
one thing I would add to our listeners is, just because you don't do all these big community volunteer things doesn't mean you have to do it. These are things we do. Piety can be as nice as just make sure you recycle
Yes, actually.
Try. That's pagan blasphemy not to. I don't know about other countries, but in Canada, recycling is a huge thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a huge thing here in America. It's not so much out west.
No, it's a huge thing here in America. It's
big in BC, but Alberta, Saskatchewan, they don't even know what it is.
No. I think a big thing in piety is, even for me, even when I don't feel like it, being kind. Even when you don't feel it. And you know what I always do? Little things like, I always talk to that elderly person in the grocery line next to me. You know, because they usually are wanting to talk, or maybe this is their only outing, their only time they're out all week. Well, and especially in COVID and things. But just even up to me, I think that's a huge act of just sucking it up and being kind when I really don't want to be. Some days when you're having a bad day, and with all the, you know, the international mm-hmm. students that live in my house and all that, some days I just would like to shoot everyone. Or not shoot, but it's like, get the hell out, and no one talk to me. I was going to say, this is nice. Canada.
You just have to evict them.
Yeah, I say that, you know, that was metaphorical, of course. But, you know, when you just don't want to talk, or you don't want to be supportive, or they've got a problem, or you have to do their laundry, or you're making the supper, when you really just want to, you know, eat a peanut butter sandwich in your bedroom. And if I'm really desperate, I'll eat a peanut butter sandwich if it's the right peanut butter, because I'm not into peanut butter that much. But try to be kind. That's a biggie to me. Big part of piety is just being kind.
Well, I have to say, like I was going to say, that mostly depends on what deity you're following. If you're like following a jerk deity, then maybe piety is being a jerk.
Well, I suppose. I never thought of it. But I mean, there's plenty of deities that are truly scary that... You don't have to be a jerk like they might be. They could just give you the strength to move on in your life.
Yeah.
I'm in a Medusa thing right now, and like, she can be pretty smite your enemies kind of, but you know, I'm just using that part of that energy is appealing to me right now.
But yeah, you made a good point. It's like, piety does not need to be grandiose.
Oh God, no.
Until you brought it up. Like, I wasn't even going there in my head as we were thinking about piety, and I was thinking, my observances for connection to divinity or small personal rituals and things like, with the goal of re-enchanting my relationship with the world, with the immanent deity that exists for all of us, being in my garden, plant, you know, all of those sorts of things. I am trying to bring a sacred consciousness to more mundane acts.
Right.
For my own narrow
mm-hmm.
growth or whatever. Does that make sense?
Putting out a bird feeder in winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of idea. That can really help. I find that feeding birds in winter can really help me keep me connected to, you know, when you're feeling dreary, for those, for us here in Canada, where winter can, this winter wasn't bad, but winter can be a challenge sometimes when you just, it's like, what the heck? And the earth seems dead and asleep and quiet, but those birds come and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, okay.
Yeah. So this, like, at the end of our rituals, one of our last quotes is, we do today as our ancestors did yesterday, so our children can do tomorrow. And
that's really beautiful. Like, that's really good.
Piety for us is so that we can continue on doing what we do and believing what we do believe for future generations. To me, that's the end result of my piety, I guess.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
I think we need to move to the next virtue after that. Yeah. Nobody can say anything
before it
after
gets
that.
Too dark that we can't see each other.
I was going to turn on the light, but I'll do it in the next episode.
I'm kind of enjoying this because
it's still lighting up outside.
Because we're talking about what's inside our heads. And we don't need light. We don't need physical light to access that.
So actually, what you were kind of saying sort of bleeds into the last one for this episode of vision. So this one's a little bit more broad. The ability to broaden one's perspective, to have a greater understanding of our place and role in the cosmos relating to the past, present, and future. So for me, vision is the ability to understand that in the entire galaxy, I am but a mere tiny speck of dust. But understanding that the domino effect works, and that my little tiny speck of dust can bump into other specks of dust and have an effect.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I do frequently feel, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively, that I am supremely insignificant in our universe. Sometimes I can look at that in a positive way and think, like you say, connecting all with all the virtues and with kindness, that any small, tiny act of kindness that I can do towards somebody may then ripple and help them and move forward. But sometimes very negatively, I do have that feeling of I'm nothing, I'm insignificant, I'm not important in the grand scheme of things. And that is actually one of the reasons I'm a vegetarian. I do not believe I am any more important than any other animal on the earth. I do not believe that they should give up their lives for me, because what am I? I'm nothing.
Right.
That's one of the more in-depth reasons that I'm a vegetarian. But yeah, I do.
No, that's a good reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find, and I have struggled with the insignificant thing.
Yeah.
That bothers me a great deal and leaves me very unmoored.
Right.
I will say it leaves me very unmoored about being, you know, an insignificant micro speck in the universe, because then I think, well, what's the point of me even being here?
Yeah.
Like, so, because I get a little fatalistic about that.
I think there's this real paradox. If you go like Google Brian Swim and the cosmologists that work with him and that sort of thing. And one of the things they talk about is that this is an ever-expanding universe. We understand that scientifically. So while you are not the center of the universe, no matter where you are at the center, because everything is expanding outwards from you. And so just as the tiniest leaf falling in a pond causes ripples, we all cause these ripples, and it's ever-expanding outward. Is it Marianne Williamson? What's her name? Anyway, that never doubt that a small group of people, or, you know, like this insignificant number can make a difference, because that's all that ever does, right? And it doesn't matter how small and how unimportant you think you are. My really gross example of that is within our own ecosystems of our own bodies. The things that we eat, sometimes the medication that we take, we wipe out, you know, our own internal gut bacteria, that sort of thing. You know, if you need a fecal transplant, that little gut bacteria is pretty damn important. If I'm going to let somebody stick their own poop up my butt.
I have never heard of that.
Oh my gosh. I know people whose lives were saved.
Oh, I can't.
They almost died without, they had no way through medication and better living through chemistry. And they were on death's doorstep. And this is not an exaggeration. And it was a fecal transplant that saved their lives.
All these times you sit in the toilet and you just flush it away.
You flush people away good there, bacteria. Yeah, people will pay for that.
That bacteria.
For that shit. Oh my God.
Well, you know what? What gives me comfort? It makes me feel very unmoored. Mm. But what gives me a compass to follow is that I may be insignificant in the grand scheme of the universe, but I can still be very, very significant to individual. Me alone, I can't change the world, but I can be a big part of someone else's world.
Right.
You know, like if you have a child, you're their whole world, their parents, whatever, you're their whole world. So that's the only way, because if I try, though I enjoy the cosmos and this and the energies, and I made the gigantic mistake of looking up what quantum entanglement meant, because now my brain has been really looking at that on and off going, oh my goodness, because that proves that even though you're this tiny little speck, a billion miles away can be affected by me. But I try not to, on the whole, think of that whole being an insignificant speck, because that can make me very, very down.
Oh yeah, don't focus.
I can't think on it at all. Yeah. Really, I have to think, oh, I'm important. You know, even if it's just to my cats, because I put the food down.
That's the least important part of that statement.
Yeah,
just understand that there is so much more around you, but that you still have an effect.
Exactly.
No matter how tiny you feel.
And, yes. Yeah. You know, yes. Working in retail. And basic, you know, and seeing other people working in the service industry and realizing how you act towards them affects their day.
Yes.
Absolutely. I have had customers, I can be having a fantastic day and I have one customer who's cranky. Doesn't matter about the 25 customers who thought I was great. That one customer that, you know, had an issue is what your brain clings to for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I go out of my way, even in my customer service when, you know, right now I'm bouncing between four locations of the business I work for.
Right.
And there have been times that I'm dealing with a customer and they leave and I turn around and I look at my coworkers and I'm like, yeah, I know you wanted me to shut up, but I made the sale, right? Yeah. They're happy. They left. They got what they wanted. You know, everybody's happy here. So just being kind to people. And if somebody does come in a bad mood, what can I do to help improve their day?
Right. Mm-hmm. So right now we're very focused on the now.
Yes.
But vision also includes your effect on the future and your past. So for me, being a father of a 7-year-old, I understand that like being that tiny speck of dust, I have a massive effect on how he is brought up. Mm-hmm. And how that's going to affect his generation and then the generation after that and the generation. And so that there's a lot of conversation in society and pop culture about generational trauma. And so that's obviously not something we as four white individuals have, like, I don't know about you, but having spoken to other friends who have come from broken homes, I realize I had it pretty good. Like, my parents were stable. They probably should have gotten divorced, but they didn't. And they were good parents and they worked hard and there was food on the table and we were often poor and lived in community housing, but there was no excessive drinking. There was no excessive drug use. And so I, as the next speck of dust on the family timeline, I'm not negatively affected. And of course, that's the goal for my child, for his generation, for him to grow up and be like, my parents were good. So I'm going to be able to pass those virtues on to my children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Which again is one of the reasons why I don't have children. Because I know all of my vision at this point is for my, and has been since I was very young, has been survival.
Yeah.
And I don't have what it takes to be able to give that to another human being. And it's funny, I often talk about Rain at work. Do you realize she is the only human being on the planet that I have known and been in her life from birth to now?
Isn't that something?
Wow.
There's no other.
Is your brother older than you?
My brother's older than me. He has children, but they were like, I saw them maybe once every 2 years.
Oh, I see.
Kind of thing. So I wasn't as involved and wasn't a witness to this human being through their whole life. And then again, I often think about your children, Gwen, and how they are. And always have been peers within the community.
Yeah.
They've always.
You didn't meet them till they were old. We didn't meet them.
Well, they were, and they were teenagers.
Yeah.
But they were not viewed as needed to be sheltered or
protected.
They were.
Yeah.
Fully integrated members of the community.
You know what? Yeah. I do find that, and I have had more than one person say to me, you always take your kid to too many things. Now, mind you, when I would go to festival, that was mommy's time away. Mm. But just pagans on the whole take their kids to more things.
Oh, yeah.
I think we drag them along to more, just even if it's just an evening of people getting together. Well, there's going to be a place someone will set up for the kids in the other side of the room or in another room.
And that's very much in the Druid group.
Oh, yeah. Kids are everything. Always welcome to participate in ritual. They mostly don't. They're 7, 8, 9, 12-year-olds. Boys who often just go beat each other up on the other side of the dirt hill while we're doing ritual. But actually, it's funny enough, your granddaughter came to our last ritual and her and Atticus held their own ritual in his bedroom.
Oh.
After our ritual, they came up and stole our ritual stuff.
Ritual
and had
gear.
Their own ritual.
She's a little magical being.
Yeah. So and Atticus held a ritual for Owen and Connell, and the four of them just did their own little ritual in
that's
the bedroom.
That's very, very cool.
That's awesome. Very
cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year, Atticus, and we're going to try this. We're taking Atticus. Atticus has been to every festival we've been to, minus the one last year because mommy and daddy needed some time away. But he's going to come this year, and we're just going to stick an air tag in his pants.
Yeah.
And we're like, go away.
If we
need you, we'll push the button and it'll ring and you come back to us.
Well, you know what? I was, you know, and I mean, Rain went to pagan things.
Yep.
But it was like, until she can set up her own tent and cook her own meals and be responsible for herself, I am not taking her. And oftentimes I was part of the executive and had a lot.
You had a lot of responsibility.
I had a lot to do and I couldn't, you know, just, you know, whatever. But once she got about 14, I took her.
We took Atticus, I think, when he was a baby.
I do remember him being there when he was a baby. He was just less than a year old. He was in the snuggly.
But that was more of Karen wanted to go and...
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't want to leave him behind.
Well, and he was probably still snacking
on
her, so she couldn't be gone from him for too long.
That's
so
a good point.
This is not quite so philosophical vision-wise, but when I think about vision, I think in the way of craft-like or tools, maybe this is where divination comes in. This is where you use divination to give you feedback on the bigger picture that you may not be able to see.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely in the Merriam-Webster definition. It's not a part of the our own Druidry definition, but it's definitely part of it.
You use divination within your rituals, I notice.
We do, but I am definitely not the right person. Divination is not something I personally know anything about whatsoever. My form of divination is staring into the fire, and that's pretty much it.
This grove gifted me with a set of rituals so that I could take them into the prison and, you know, mix them up with other ones, groups. And it's a little intimidating to have ritualized within a group. Okay, now we're going to draw a rune to see the feedback from the gods on whether they accept our ritual. And I can see the guy's eyes going like, dude, you know, God hasn't always been my friend, you know?
And so we use the Oum. There's 50% good and 50% bad. You're not always going to draw a good one. And there's also a blank. And so I'm going to tell a little story. And we had Aldine draw the Oum for like a year because she kept drawing the blank. And we're like, at the end of it, and we're like, you can't draw it anymore. She's like, really? And we're like, you keep drawing the same one and it's just blank. And she's like, but. And she's like, no, you can't draw it anymore.
You're done.
So Aldine is banned from drawing the Oum.
And I remember being at one of the Open Grove rituals and it was not necessarily a great feedback.
Nope.
And so you had a little conflab and you decided, what are we going to shift within the context of this public ritual with many people there to make this more acceptable? Yeah, that's a frightening, like vision can be frightening.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
At the same time, though, I want to say over the last 3, maybe 4 years, so we do roughly 8 rituals a year. Mm-hmm. So that's, let's say we're talking 24 rituals. I want to say we've drawn oak And what 18 is, to 19 times.
What's the symbolism of the oak?
Oak is strength, power.
And what is the Gaelic word for oak? It's a base word for... I can't pronounce it, I know. But it's Druid. It's the same base word as Druid. So it's very cool that you draw the oak word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah. If it's 50-50, then statistically, if it's just chance... statistically you should have 50-50.
Yeah,
but so if your feedback is predominantly
the same
positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when we do it in our Grove Druid ritual, this is not an ADF thing, we often have two bags of own because we ask how our ritual has been received, and then we also ask what gifts the shining ones or deities are bestowing on us. And so we draw from two separate bags. That way, the taint from the perception of the ritual is not passed on to the gift.
Isn't right.
That interesting.
So there is a chance that you can draw the same Oum.
If you have two sets.
If you have
correct.
Two sets. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to go back to one little thing before we wrap up here.
Yeah.
That Gwen had said when you were saying about how is our ritual received? What is God saying? And some of the people you have, you know, visit with might have said, well, God hasn't always been my friend. But I think if anyone ever says that to you again, it would be, but have you been their friend?
Mm. There's piety.
That's right. There's piety. Have you, you're in jail, prison. So you obviously haven't been living, you know, at one point you've strayed from that path, but have you been God's friend or goddess's friend?
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, will help you go in the right direction.
You can also point out that one of the great things about paganism is just because you're not God's great friend doesn't mean another god or goddess isn't paying attention.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So right. You may have annoyed Thor, but I'm sure Loki's watching.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
And on that wonderful note, right?
Yeah.
On that wonderful note, thank you all for tuning in with us. If you have any suggestions or questions or comments, you can reach us on our Facebook page. We certainly are always happy to hear from you. And we're going to thank Krista for being our wonderful editor who pulls this all off for us.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. To our amazing Patreons who have been there to support us through the past 3 seasons, Sybil, Josie, Catherine, Nicole, Amy Beth, Tomlin, Samantha, Stephanie, Chris, Ramos, Eric, Karen, Highland Horde, Danny, Tania, Sarah, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family. Let us continue to inspire and uplift each other, and may our collective energy bring light and love to the world.
until next time, everyone, I would like wish you all good days and good travels because spring is here. And merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.